Blog Talk Radio.
What a moment. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning, knowing that God is in charge of everything and that we are loved. What an awesome and mighty God we serve. This is Blog Talk Radio. This is Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. And I am so grateful to be with you again on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. Let us go forth today. We are going forth in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 19 through chapter 20, verse 17. We will also be in our psalm for today. It's the 82nd Psalm, verses 1 through 8, Proverbs chapter 20, verses 29 through 30. And our Acts today is a completion. I believe we'll be completing Acts chapter 17 this morning. Nope, we have another day or so of Acts chapter 17. So we'll be in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 15. So let us pray. Heavenly Father God, I come to you with a humble heart, asking you, Lord God, to take a seat, to come in, to take control, to speak through me, Lord God, that your words will come forth and not mine. I ask you, Lord God, as the word says, to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, for you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. Father God, as we move forward in your word, let someone's heart be changed, someone's mind be filled with you, God. For it's not about me, it's all about you, God. And if this word touches someone's heart, someone's mind, and someone's spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good morning, good morning. Still dealing a little bit with a situation, but I'm not naming it. Because I believe I have been cured, not actually cured, but I have been healed. Hallelujah. And the word that God gave me for my prayer this morning in my little prayer book for this 12th day of July is beloved child. You know, sometimes we need to hear those words, beloved child. You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. Woo! Y'all know Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 7. Because we know Solomon was something, man. And, you know, for married couples, I always laugh and say, there is something in the Bible for everybody. And the Song of Solomon is for married folks. I'm just going to call it like it is. It's for married folks. It's not for everybody. It's for married folks. You know, when our teenagers are folks getting all hot and bothered. But it's for married folks. So, husband, pull out that word. Wives, pull out that word and watch God work in your marriages. So, Song of Solomon, chapter 4. This loving father, your incredible love welcomes me like a bear hug. Your warm presence. It's the most hospitable atmosphere I've ever known. As a dearly loved child, I can freely come and go as I please. For your love that delights in me, just as I am, as I soak in your attention, receiving the affection you freely give, I feel joy bubbling over to the brim of my heart. You are extraordinary, Lord. I'm running out of words to describe your goodness. You are the light that brings warmth to every living thing. We grow in the brightness of your great favor. Secure me in my identity as your child. So I go out into the world and throw kindness around like confetti, brightening the day of those who encounter it. Let my confidence grow each day as I soak in the oil of your love that draws all over impurities. Praise the Lord. And the question as we get ready to start our lesson this morning, yes, something to think about today is this. What does it mean for you to know that you are a child of the King? One more time. What does it mean for you to know that you are a child of the King? Think on that, and let's get into our word this morning. Our prayer for today has come out of the 365 Days of Prayer for Life. And we will have hopefully a word from Sister Carolyn at the end of the show. My sister's been on fire. And I know that God, so one day you will see Carolyn's gift. Hold on. With photos, not contradiction. But we'll just go we'll go in with that at another time. So let's keep going, y'all. Let's get into the Word of God. And our word for July the 12th is coming again out of 2 Chronicles, chapter 19. And our title will be coming out of chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. Forgive the kind of gravelly voice this morning, but I'm trusting God that it's going to get stronger as we go forth, because I believe that I am healed. Hallelujah. A little drink of water, and now let's get going. Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house, because remember, he had just come from fighting in battle with his father-in-law, Ahab, who we know was killed. So now he's dealing with the death of Ahab and the fact that he had gone out to war with Ahab. And so now he's coming back from being in war and knowing that God saved him. So he's going to have to deal with the stuff that's going on in his own kingdom now. And it says this: when Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, and that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God. So Jehoshaphat dwelt in Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord, God of their fathers. Then he set judges in the land throughout all fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Now, therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, not taking a bribe. Moreover, in Jerusalem, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and some of the chief fathers of Israel when they returned to Jerusalem. And he commanded them, saying, thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a loyal heart, whatever case comes to you from your brethren who dwell in their cities, whether of bloodshed or offenses against law or commandment, against statute or ordinance, you shall warn them, lest they trespass against the Lord, and wrath come upon you and your brethren. Do this, and you will not be guilty. And take notice, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebadiah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also, the Levites will be officials before you. Behave courageously, and the Lord will be with the good. Hallelujah. And in chapter 20, it happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are Hazazon, Tamar, which is East Gadi, and Gadi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Oh, hallelujah. We pray. When we go through, we pray. And God gives us an answer. And God will send someone who loves him to help us. And says, now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor dismayed because of this great multitude. But the battle is not yours, but God's. Hallelujah. When you're going through the multitude of things that are everywhere, and you're like, Lord, how do I get through this mess? How do I get through this toil? How do I get through this snare? How do I get through, God? And then you'll hear that voice as you listen. The battle is not yours, but God's. The angels of heaven are speaking. The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the accent of this. And you will find them at the end of the book before the wilderness of Jezreel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So my sisters and my brothers, don't worry. Just pray. Because the battle is not yours, it's God's. Because the Lord is with you. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with us. Whatever we're going through, sickness and health, God is with us. He is with us always. Why? Because he loves us. And that's what we read this morning. Because we are his child, his children. I'm his child. You're his child. We're his children. And he doesn't show partiality. He loves us all equally. And all we can say is thank you, Lord, for loving us like that, for caring about us like that, for being our Heavenly Father who cares and loves us. As we go to our life lesson, the battle is not yours, but God. And as Dr. Stanley so eloquently put it, we don't have to worry about how to engage our conflicts because they all belong to God. And being his, they are already won. Rather, our responsibility is to obey whatever he instructs us to do. Always remember that every blessing and success comes from God. When you do that, it'll be easier to trust him to win your battle. Hallelujah. Can you trust God this morning? Can you give it over to God? Can you say, Lord, I'm going to give this to you because I trust you. I don't trust the man on the other end of the phone, but I trust you. I don't trust the person at the DMV, but I trust you. I don't trust this or that, but I trust you. We got to trust God, and God will send good people into your life to help you accomplish what you need to do, to give you a word from the Lord. We got to trust God. We got to pray. We've got to believe that the battle is not ours. It is the Lord. And I trust in my Lord God. And I trust in my Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust in the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. We got to have trust that God will make a way out of no way. Can you say it with me? God will make a way out of no way. And as we go into our psalm this morning, it's a psalm of Asaph. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods, little Jesus. And long, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Beloved. Again, for those that are just joining us, I am in the 82nd Psalm. Just read verses 1 through 2. Verse 3, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. And as this word was thousands of years ago, it's a word that is still for today. It's a still today word. It's still today. It looks like the wicked keep getting richer and everybody else keeps getting poor. The 1% with all their luxury items getting tax breaks, but the average guy has to wind up paying extra taxes. You know, and it just starts to get to you. It's like, what? That makes no sense, God. You know, it's like you're raining all more on them than on us. But then you hear God's voice and say, I rain on the just and the unjust. I give to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because remember, our blessings are irrevocable. So whatever your blessing is in this life, nobody can take it. You will have to stand before God in the end. So if you use that blessing that God has given you for ill-gotten gain, you use it for things that are not of him, You will pay for it at the end. You may have everything in the world, but hell is very hard. Be very careful what we do and how we do it. It says they do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said, you are God, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 29 through 30. The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. Ooh, I think, and old women too. Thank you. But I earn every silver streak on this head, I tell you that. Blows that hurt cleanse away evil of the heart. Jesus paid it all on the cross for you, for me. Those stripes, get his back. Those stripes he took for me. Those stripes he took for you. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God and to be loved by him more than anything. Go to our psalm, a life lesson, I have one. And it says, I said, you are God and all of you are children of the Most High. We started off this morning with that word, that we were children of God. And it says, Jesus quoted this verse and highlighted the staggering privilege of receiving the word of God. John 10 and 34. Let us treat the Bible as the great gift it is and daily feed upon it to honor the one who gave it to us. And we do, and I thank God for all of you that come in and listen in with me and read and study with me. This is our time with God, and we do it together as family, because God's word is true, and he loves us more than we can imagine. I am so grateful to be a child of God. I am so grateful to know that my daddy loves me, and he calls me his own. You know, as the song says, he walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own. And the voice I hear in my ear, we got to know who it is, and that voice is the voice of God. Hallelujah. As we go into Acts 17, we know that on yesterday, just an overview, Paul and Silas had their at about midnight moment. They had that moment where everybody got saved in the prison cell. Everybody, the jailer and his family, got baptized, got saved and baptized. You know, God will do what God will do. All we have to do is just be ready, because God is good just like that. And all I can say is Paul and Silas, they was doing the thing. They was singing. They was praising. They was praying. They was clapping. They was doing it all because they knew we're not supposed to be here, but we're going to praise God in the midst. And when they was singing to him and praying, at about midnight, the foundation of the jail began to shake, and the chains came off the prisoner's arms, and the doors were open, but not one person tried to escape, because they knew something miraculous was happening, and they wanted to see it to the end. Hallelujah. And as we get ready to go into chapter 17, of the book of Acts, starting at verse number 1. It says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis, forgive me, y'all. There may be some words that I am not speaking very clearly, but I will do my best. Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his custom was, went in to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating, and rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded became envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathered them up, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brothers to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul in Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowd. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, receiving a command from Silas and Timothy to come to him. With all speed, they departed. You know, when there's a move of God happening, the devil's always going to send folks. And a lot of times the folks he sends are folks that look like clergy, act like clergy, but have the heart of a devil. They get caught up and not in God. These Jews, they have forgot who their first love was. They had forgot who God was. They had forgot the sovereignty of God. They had forgot their word because they got caught up in the world. Acts 17 and 11, they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The Bereans didn't take Paul's word. What about how the Old Testament scripture prophesied the ministry, suffering, and resurrection of Christ? They looked for themselves, and God commended them for their diligence. And that is what this is all about. Why do we go through this whole Bible every year? Is because we are searching the pages of history. Because this is his story. This is our history. This is a his story, not just history. We've got to know why we look at this word. Because it tells us everything we need and more than we could ever ask for. All we have to do is study it, stay on it, to show ourselves approved. God wants us to know his word, because when you know the word, you have no excuse. You have no excuse. You know that you're loved. You know that you're a child of God. You know that God fights all your battles for you. Why? Because you belong to him, and he is a protective papa bear. He's protective of his cubs. He's protective of his children, and he's not going to let anything happen to you. You just got to have faith and believe that his word is true, that he loves you. Say it any better. God loves you. And as we go back to our title word for today, and it's, you know, the battle is not yours or ours. It is God. And, you know, to finish that off, the word God is, the Lord is with you. The battle is not yours because the Lord is with you. And as we go back to the life principle for chapter 20 of Second Chronicles, it tells us, verse 12, that God always, this is from Dr. Stanley, and if you would like to get a piece of paper, because I have about 9 things for you to write down if you'd like to. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. And it says, if necessary, God will move heaven and earth to show us his will. And this is a word that you need to take with you daily. And say, God always wants the best for us. He is committed to showing us how to follow the specific plan he has designed for each of our lives. He wants us to listen for his voice, to hear what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. Isaiah 30:19-21. When we begin to wander from the course God has set for us, he will take all kinds of measures to capture our attention and protect us from harm. He has a variety of ways to help us to take notice among them. The first one is, sometimes God gets our attention by making us restless. Esther 6, if you experience a restless deep within something you cannot quite identify, then stop and pray. Lord, are you trying to say something to me? Each time God was about to move from one pastor to another, I became very restless. This is Dr. Stanley. When God was about to move him, he became restless. An evangelist, I'm sure, out there, when it's time for God to move you, you become restless. You don't know why, you're just feeling some kind of way. Because God is getting ready to move you. He's getting ready to take you to a different direction. Hallelujah. And then it's word number 2, a spoken word. God also gets our attention by using the words of others. God gave a message both to young Samuel and to the old priest Eli through this method. If several people in a short span of time begin telling you the same thing, then ask the Lord if he is trying to speak to you through them. An unusual blessing. Number 3, God may bless us in an unusual way to gain our attention. Of course, if you are an overly self-sufficient person, the Lord may more likely use some other method to get your focus on him. But remember that no matter which method he uses, he expresses his love. Number 4, unanswered prayer. Sometimes God will answer a prayer with no. Despite David's prayer for God to save son's life, the child born through the king's adultery, the boy died. The Lord may choose to may close the doors of heaven and refuse to answer our prayers as a way of forcing us to examine ourselves. Ooh, that's rough. God will shut up, shut down, and say in an emphatic, no. No, you're not. I'm not doing that. Because you didn't do your part. So no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not blessing your mess. Nope, not going to do it. And that's wrong. We know when we mess up, we got to clean up. isn't this number five, disappointment. When the nation of Israel refused God's instructions to take possession of the promised land, God judged the people for their unbelief. They quickly changed their minds and said they now desired to enter the land. But the Lord said no. It was too late. God got their attention through tremendous sense of disappointment. In a similar way, God may also allow setbacks to keep us from charting our own course. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, I always love the story of the Exodus because God gave them Caleb and Jacob. And y'all know I have a crush on Joshua. I'm sorry, I said Jacob, but Joshua and Caleb. And I do. I have a Joshua crush. And the reason I have a Joshua crush, you know, I could have had a Caleb crush, but it's something about Joshua. He was with Moses through so much. He stood firm as that armor bearer. He was like, you're not getting through me to get to him. And when God chose someone to take his children into the promised land, he chose Joshua because Joshua and Caleb were not afraid to stand up to their 10 brothers, to the 10 who said, oh, it's giants over there. Oh, we can't do this. Oh, we can't do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We don't have that philosophy anymore. We need to get it back. We got to have a Joshua spirit. And we got to have a belief in the love of God when he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. When the Lord told us to be strong and courageous, and instead we want to walk in fear, we got to walk in faith, knowing that God's got us covered. Number six, extraordinary circumstances. Sometimes God will use unusual circumstances to get us to stop and listen. Moses saw a flaming bush that didn't burn up as he approached to investigate. The Lord spoke to him from the fire. You and I must learn to look for the presence of God in every circumstance of life. He leaves his footprints and handiwork all around us. Number seven, defeat. God may not use defeat to show us the truth. Following the Lord's stunning victory over Jericho, the Israelites approached a small town with overconfidence and neglected to fight in God's strength or with his guidance. Joshua chapter 7, we know they went to Ai. They thought they was all that and some bags of chips and a few bales of wheat and some what is the other stuff and some a whole cart of olive oil. They just thought they had it going on. We beat Jericho and we didn't say a word until number 7. We walked around that city. Because can't you hear the brackets? We walked around it, and you know everybody was quiet. Even the babies was quiet. It was quiet, and we walked around. 7:10, we walked around this city until them walls came down. Ooh. Yeah. We don't even need everybody. We got this. And what happened? Got their butts towed up because they did not go to God first. We got to go to God first. We got to ask God, Lord, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? Guide and lead me, Lord, so I don't keep making the same mistakes. And as we continue this financial trouble, actually, let me go back up. God got Joshua's attention by letting him fail miserably. But even a terrible defeat may prove to be the greatest stepping stone to success when we ask, Lord, what are you saying? You know, and I know that. I've been there, been at the top and been at the bottom. But I thank God for the bottom for the basement, because the basement is what got my attention. The basement is what brought me closer to God. The basement is what helped me to know that even in my darkest hour, God was still with me. Didn't lose anything, but maybe some pride. But that's all right. You know, when God takes you out and puts you somewhere else, it's for a purpose and a reason. Sometimes you got to go down to go back up. Financial trouble. Because in the time of the judges, when everyone did what was right in his own eyes, the nation fell into idolatry and disobedience. God brought judgment through the Midianites, who devastated the land. Only when he took away every material belonging did they cry out to him. God knew exactly what it would take to get their attention. When they did return to him, he delivered them from the oppressors and blessed them. You know, I understand that. Been there at the top. Lots of money in the bank. No worries. And I've also been there where, as the song we played yesterday, Victory, I've been broke without a dime to my name. But all my bills got paid because I called on Jesus' name. Been there too. We all have been up. We all have been down. But we all have to thank God, because God is in charge of everything. And then this is that thing that gets us all. Tragedy, sickness, and affliction. And it says we should regard our tragedies and afflictions as reasons to inquire of the Lord. What are you trying to say? When King Hezekiah became prideful, God used illness to alert him to the problem. Similarly, when Saul or Tarsus persecuted Christians, God struck them with blindness. That certainly got his attention. God also knew exactly where you are in your journey of faith and precisely what it will take to get your attention. So stay alert. Notice if any of these divine methods are occurring, are reoccurring in your life. Yeah. Every time God wants me to rest, he gives me bronchitis. And I wind up having no choice but to rest. And I can say, you know, y'all know this week I've coughed my way through this show. And there's been times today that a cough is trying to come out, but not today. Because God is giving us an understanding that this battle, this bronchitis is not my battle, it's God's. And that he is fighting for me. He's fighting any infection, he's fighting all the things, because I had work to do. And I still pressed on, even with the cough, even with everything, I still pressed on to do what he called me to do. We got to press on, even in the mess, even in the midst of the storm. Don't stop. Keep going, because eventually you will get out. And that I learned from my late husband. Don't stop just because it's raining. And I know it's pouring. And I know it's scary. But if you keep moving forward, you will eventually get out of it. And guess what? Every time he did. And that's like anything else. Keep moving forward. One foot in front of the other. One day at a time. Thank God that he loves you and that he's got you covered. And it gets, and I love what Dr. Ian Stanley is. This word with God always knows exactly where you are in your journey of faith and precisely what it's well, what it will take to get your attention. Ooh. So stay alert. Notice if there's any divine methods are occurring or reoccurring in your life if they are. Ask him what he wants to tell you, and then listen, not simply to hear, but to obey. And that is our word this morning. I thank God for all of you. I thank you for joining me. Let's see if we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And we do. And our word for today is this. Good morning. When you learn to reconcile, you know what? All I can say is, as I said here, the wet noodle getting all teary-eyed, is God puts things into the spiritual wind. And how do you know that he put it in the spiritual wind? Sister Carolyn wrote this note at 4 o'clock this morning. She had no idea what I was preaching on or teaching on. I didn't have an idea of what I was teaching on or preaching on. But God put it in the spiritual wind. And this is it. Good morning. When you learn to recognize God in the smallest and most ordinary things, your life will be amazingly exciting. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Watch God work in your life today, family. Watch God work, for you are his child, and he will give you butterflies. He will give you bubbles and rainbows. He will give you everything you need and more than you could ever ask for or even think. Why? Because you are his wonderful child, and he loves you, and he's going to fight those battles for you. Why? Because he's the Lord. He is God. And he fights for his children. Don't think you're going to get away with anything. Because God's got you. Yesterday I was listening to this comedian. And, you know, she was talking about the bullies. We all know there's a bully that all of us can go back in our history and remember. And I'm not going to call names because my bully is now my friend. So, but anyway, our bully was Brenda Brown. And Brenda Brown, she said, be there up every day, basically. And then Brenda Brown took her glasses. And y'all know, you know, 30, 40 years ago, a pair of glasses was a big deal because it cost a lot of money. We didn't have the internet where you can go and get frames for $59. You know, everything was expensive. And when you needed glasses, it was a financial strain. So Brenda Brown took at a maze glasses, nail art, twig or something, and did tic-tac-toe in her frames, I mean, in her lenses. So she didn't wear them because she knew she was going to have to deal with the daddy. So the daddy said, finally, they noticed she didn't have her glasses on and said, where's your glasses at, mate? And she didn't want to tell him that Brenda Brown had beat her up, took her glasses, and marked all in them. So she, dad said, okay. And she had to get up. And dad took that little belt and started saying, where are your glasses? She said he had a tune going on. You know, Adam May, where's your glasses? Adam May, where's your glasses? And by the time everything was said and done, she had to tell him the truth that she got this bullet named Brenda Brown who was taking her glasses. And then that is it. What I want you to do, go to the front of the class, call up Brenda Brown, and you hit her as hard as you can and tell her you're not going to take it anymore. Now, I understand Brenda Brown was a terror. Even the teachers were scared of Brenda Brown. And so she called up Brenda Brown in front of the whole class. And she said, Brenda Brown, I'm not going to take your bullying anymore. And then she said she leaned up and knocked her across the teacher's desk. And she said, and quiet as it kept, even the teacher was smiling, but took them both to the office. And she said, and so she's sitting there in the office, Brenda Brown and the mama. Mama was dead, girl. Bit late. Looking all hateful and evil. Like, you know, she was ready to jump on it, she said. And I was sitting there getting a little nervous. And then in come my daddy. And he took up the whole doorway. And he told a lady. He said she was getting ready. Your daughter's been harassing and bullying my daughter all school year. But it stopped now. Because if she don't stop, my daughter's going to knock her out every day until it stops. And the mom is upset. Well, no, he said, told her to hit her because she wouldn't take no for an answer. And then he looked at his daughter and he said, if she don't stop, he said, I'm going to have my wife come up and beat you up. Now, if there's any more questions, I'm not answering anything else. Everything was done the way it needed to be done to get your daughter's attention, to leave my daughter alone. And then she said, and it was the best day of my life because my dad looked at me and said, come on, Etta Mae, let's go to Dairy Queen. And so she went to Dairy Queen and she said, you know what? Even to this day, every time I think about a dilly bar, I think about Brenda Brown. So understand, the battles aren't ours. They're God's. And when our daddy walks in the door, we know we don't have to worry because he might be taking us to Dairy Queen because we did what he said to. So do what God says do. Don't worry about what anybody else say. And I'm going to tell all the kiddos, violence is not the answer. You ain't got to go knock somebody out to get their attention. But understand, your daddy God may have to knock you out. So much family for joining me this morning. Continue to keep me in prayer as I continue to keep you in prayer. And as we pray out, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that God is with you, that he loves you, and that he's your daddy, and he's fighting your battle, and that he will tell you how to handle the Brenda Browns in your life. He'll tell you how to handle those mountains that like to knock you down. He'll tell you how to get a dilly bar at Dairy Queen. And as we wrap up again this morning, excuse me, now when you learn to recognize God in the smallest and most ordinary things, your life will be amazingly exciting. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. And again, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent, one from each other, in Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that God is in charge. And I can tell you where I live, it is beautiful today. And I am going to have, as my sister in Christ said, a wonderful Wednesday. Because even with this little situation, not today. I am healed. I am set free. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm okay. Thank you so much, family. Again, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for everything that you do. I appreciate your support. Call a friend, text a friend. Tell them moving forward, zone. Let's go to Bible study together. I appreciate it. Again, our number, 213-943-3597. Have a blessed day. It is crap. Why? Because I got to go to work. Have a great day.